the ESPN Upstate World Headquarters in Greenville, South Carolina. This is The Huddle with G-Mac, Greg McKinney, KB, Ken Blankenship, and Lonzo. Call 844-GSP-ESPN.
Text us at 47183.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Welcome to The Huddle.
This is ESPN Upstate.
Yes, it is. Welcome into the huddle on ESPN Upstate Tuesday afternoon. Greg McKinney, Kim Blankenship, and Lonzo. We're here till 4 o'clock this afternoon with plenty to talk about. Phone lines open to you at 844-477-3776. Text line 47183. We are going to hear from Dave Gutshall, Dorman Cavaliers coach. They had a big win over Boiling Springs last Friday. This week they play at Gaffney, so it's getting real for the Cavaliers, and we'll check in with the coach on that. They're starting to play very well over at Dorman, peaking at a good time, it appears. We'll hear from Kirby Smart. He's the coach at Georgia. Georgia coming into Columbia Saturday for the Gamecocks matchup. His thoughts on the quarterback situation for South Carolina. He's more worried about one Gamecock quarterback in particular. We'll let you know who coming up. We will have another chance for you to win tickets to the Bank of America 500 this weekend in Charlotte. KB, fast working on a trivia question.
I am, as we speak. I am deeply into it.
So you know it will be good.
Yes. Yes.
It's his job.
Can you top that winner from yesterday?
I am really, really. I'm going to call. I should have already done this. Tell my mom that I've got a new little gig.
Mm-hmm. You're the trivia man.
I come up with a trivia question. Trivia man. Mom, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. Thank you. She's supposed to be listening today.
Well, I'll try to behave. I'll try to be nice to you then.
Well, no, you're good. Today. You're good.
He's more worried about me.
just confirm that I've got a new gig. I mean, I feel so useful around here now. It's right. Unbelievable.
Well, we're glad we can help.
I know.
There's no more pay. There's no more pay.
No, I know. I'm deeply aware of that.
All right. We'll hear from Dabo Swinney. He met with the media this morning, trying to get past the huge Saturday night win over Louisville and start focusing on the Friday night game up in New England at Boston College. That is correct. Friday night. Dabo said today he does not like Friday night games. But they didn't ask him.
Chestnut Hill.
They didn't ask him if they could play. He says he liked to watch high school football on Friday night. Go watch his kid play.
Yeah.
But won't be able to do that this week. He'll be up at BC because they do play Friday night. We will hear from Jesse Palmer, he of the SEC Network. Updates on his thoughts on a couple of SEC teams, Tennessee and Alabama. And also his thoughts on Louisville. Can they work their way back into the Final Four picture after losing on Saturday night? He'll give you his thoughts on that. We will hear from Adam Schefter of ESPN on Cam Newton and his status for the Panthers for next Monday night against Tampa Bay, Monday Night Football. Cam in the concussion protocol. So that's coming up as well. That and your phone calls. Again, phone lines open 844-477-3776. And the text line is 47183.
And now, the opening drive. Here's what's trending in the sports world on The Huddle.
Well, let's start with the weather. There's a hurricane coming. And as of today, it looks more and more like the South Carolina coast could be affected. Lonzo, you've been hanging out over at the News Talk Station. Is that what you're hearing? Charleston up to Myrtle Beach?
Hey, there's a couple models that cover like two-thirds of the state.
Yeah.
So there's a good shot we're going to get something.
Yeah. And up here in the upstate, talking about possibility of a good bit of rain. But, you know, it's going to be skirting the coast. It's not going to be coming inland and moving up this way. None of the models show that. Really skirting the coast and moving on up the eastern seaboard. So we don't expect any hurricane force winds or tropical storm winds, but we do anticipate some rain.
I'm glad you pretend to know the mind of Matthew, because you know exactly where he's going to go. Is that what you're listening to your meteorologist?
I've watched the spaghetti models. And the spaghetti, none of the strands of spaghetti come this way.
Okay. All right. So, in other words, there could be any one of four strands or five.
No, there's a bunch of strands.
12?
But all the strands
none of them come this
are
way.
Moving up the
That's
coast.
That's exactly what they said about your boy Hugo.
No, they did not.
Oh, well, I
did. They did not. Hugo came in at more of a direct angle.
All right. Well,
not a skirting angle.
Hugo's a nicer kid than Matthew. Matthew don't play, G-Mac. I'm telling you,
it's a big storm.
If he heard what you just said, he might bring it on, too.
Here's the thing. There's discussion about high school football for Friday night, and we expect a decision any minute now on a pretty big game that affects our broadcast plans, and that's Burns Bowling Springs.
Move everything to Thursday.
They're talking about moving Burns Bowling Springs to Thursday. District 5, talking about that right now.
Stop it.
Move it all.
Stop it.
We should. Be proactive. Change your show to Thursday. You change and they'll change.
I'm not worried about the show.
Step out there. Be the first. Is there some big Thursday night football game we don't need to miss?
Well, it's all a personnel problem.
Oh, okay.
Which means I will have to run the game.
Listen, throw me a couple of
personnel and personal are two different words.
Throw me a couple of cheeseburgers and I'll come in here and tell a couple of stories. I'm just saying.
No, I'm talking about running the board. No. I'm not talking about doing a show.
No, you got no help there.
So we are awaiting a decision from District 5, and we're told that right after lunch they were going to make that decision. They have not as of yet, but there's a good possibility that game will be moved. At this point, we have no ball games rescheduled in the upstate. We do have a bunch of them in the Midlands already rescheduled.
You know, this is surprising because we've had less chance before and they've moved everything. So they're going to do it. They need to go ahead and do it now so everyone can make plans.
Yeah, just move everything.
I mean, don't wait till the last second.
You guys are the opposite of what I hear from everywhere else. Quit slamming the football on the counter,
please. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make a point.
You just can't keep your hands on that football.
No, I'm just saying, oust the guy, head of the league. I love him. He's a good guy. Find him another position somewhere.
The high school?
Yeah, and put me in there.
They don't make that call. The schools make the call.
I know, but see, I need to, whoever makes, they need to make it collectively, the high school
statewide
league.
Statewide call.
Yes.
So who makes the call? Is it the coaches or is it the ADs?
Maybe I should be governor. Maybe
it's more the administration.
Maybe.
For each school district, they decide that on their own.
Maybe if I'm Kenny Haley instead of Nikki Haley and I've, usurped the governorship, I make, it's so easy, G-Mac. I put out an email, everybody's going to Thursday. I just move it up 24 hours. Boom. It's a done deal. Now I'm going to play golf, which I'm terrible at. But
that's one of the dumber things you've ever said.
No. Move it up. Why?
Because the state does not have collective weather. There's different weather in different parts of the state, and people need to make their own decisions based on the weather forecast for their area.
Well, just say
it's going to be a lot worse in Charleston than it is in Gaffney.
Okay. All of the areas that are not affected at all.
If you want to
stay Friday, you stay Friday. Everybody's up. Everybody's moving up a day this week.
And well, they're not doing that. They're not doing that. But on the Midlands, they have moved a bunch of games. Here's some Thursday games in the Midlands. This has already been decided. Going to have Hammond at Porter Gowd. That's going to be Thursday at 6 o'clock. Edisto at Pelion, 7 o'clock Thursday. North Central at Shiraw, 7 o'clock Thursday. Let's see. Dutch Fork and Lexington has moved to Thursday night. North Augusta Airport, Westwood at South Point, Fox Creek at Eau Claire, and Lancaster at Richland Northeast. All those games are going to be played Thursday night. Right now, I have a bunch of games in the Midlands still scheduled for Friday night, but it's just Tuesday. They could still move those. And again, in the upstate, we are awaiting decisions on any games that are going to be moved. And the only one I've heard anything about a meeting going on about is the Burns Bowling Springs game. We're waiting for that decision. Now, they asked Will Muschamp today. You know, South Carolina plays Georgia on Saturday at Williams-Brice Stadium. Saturday should be better. This thing's supposed to peak rain-wise in South Carolina on Friday. But there's a possibility it could be a real sloppy day on Saturday. Mm-hmm. In Columbia, and Will Muschamp says he has no idea, and he's not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Thinking about Georgia.
Yep.
Thinking about how to stop the Bulldogs and how to move on that offense and all those things. So he's not worried about it. But, essentially the schools are all saying they're taking a look. They'll watch the weather. They're keeping an eye on it. Of course, for Clemson, fortunately, they're in Boston or in Chestnut Hills. And so they will not have to worry about weather on Friday night. It won't have arrived up there by then. So Clemson's in good shape. This also would help me if they moved this game to Thursday, by the way. It hurts Lonzo, but it helps me.
That's what it all comes down to. And I realize it's a very long day for you, but I think we all think about ourselves first. Not everybody's a hero. So,
Since we've already discussed your issues with it, we can discuss you know, how I prefer that they move it because Clemson plays Friday night. First of all, I'd like to watch the game. And secondly, you have a two-hour show to do before the Clemson game on Friday. 4:30 to 6:30 on 93.3 The Planet.
Call it the GMAC plan. Take credit for it or whatever. Just make one call. Change everything up. 24. They're going to do it anyway. 99% of the teams, 95% of the games will be moved to Thursday anyway. Why not make it uniform?
All right, I've decided to take high road here. I hope they move it just for you so that you can get everything that you want because I'm that kind of guy.
Call it the GMAC plan. I don't care.
I don't believe him, do you?
I'll be behind the scenes.
Just buying.
He's still doing his own thing. So.
No.
He's doing his own show in his own
y'all
head.
Y'all are doing my plan, and it'll work. Just do it.
So we'll let you know as soon as we get any decisions about high school football and if there's anything moving on college. There's some other discussions about, you know, Florida college football games this weekend, that kind of thing. But hopefully the storm will have already moved past, and we'll be okay for that. But up the eastern seaboard, all the way up into New England, there could be impacts from this storm moving up. So just keep your ears out for changes, and we'll let you know as soon as we get any. This other bit of news today to pass along before we go to break and come back and talk to Dave Gutschall of the Norman Cavaliers. They decided where they're going to have next year's ACC baseball tournament today.
Did they?
Did it come to Greenville?
Did we get it?
No.
Come on, man.
No.
Why you got to bring us bad news?
Louisville gets the ACC baseball tournament.
Why? Because they played Clemson to a one-possession game in another sport?
I don't think that's the reason.
No. They're very good. I know that. And they got a smooth area.
Louisville Slugger Field.
Yep.
It'll be May 23rd through the 28th. This will be the first time that Louisville has hosted the baseball tournament. Of course, Louisville only began playing in the league in 2015, so... They wouldn't have hosted before then. It's a AAA stadium, so it's a nice place.
Well, that's fun, and that's fun. But, you know, and I don't draw a check from the city of Greenville, although I certainly should. But I'm going to tell you, I'll say this, and I'll put my reputation on the line. You put the stadium and the city together, Louisville can't touch us. They can't touch G-Town, man. Stop. I mean, Louisville's smooth. You got the river, and it's fun. I did it 30 years ago, and it may have updated since then. It ain't smoother than Greenville. Mm. I'm sorry.
Well, they got
Everybody says it. Everybody knows it. We got it going on.
Hey, we did get the ACC Men's Golf Championship in South Carolina. You know where it's going to be?
Right downtown, down Main Street.
I could probably give you 10 guesses and you wouldn't get it.
I was going to say Chanticleer.
Charleston somewhere.
No.
Thornblade.
No.
the Intercom Estates Links.
The ACC Men's Golf Championship next year will be held in Clinton,
South Carolina.
At Musgrove Mills.
No way.
Musgrove Mills and Clinton.
Historic Musgrove Mills. I drove right by it the other day.
Mm-hmm. That's where they're having it.
And would have stopped in, but, you know, had to scoot as always.
It will be the first time that championship will be in the state of South Carolina since 1964.
Well, there you go.
So, Clinton gets the men's golf deal.
You know, Ken's very big in the area. I say we send him there to cover it once.
Yeah, you can go down and cover that, man.
Hey, man, that'll give me a reason to go to Musgrove Mills. Mm-hmm. I'm all about history.
Go right over and do your PC soccer game right after that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right after that.
If that's what's on the docket, that's what's on the docket.
All right, 844-477-3776, text line 47183. By the way, they did move the C-team and JV games for Burns Bowling Springs to Wednesday already. 5:30 and 7 o'clock, respectively, but they have not decided on the varsity game just yet. We expect that this afternoon, and we'll let you know. Dave Gutschall, Dorman Cavaliers coach, coming off a big win. We'll talk to him next live here. It's The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
From orange and white to garnet and black, now it's time for you to talk back. Call 844-GSB-ESPN.
Text us at 47183.
Connect at ESPNUpstate.com.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg. 97.1 FM and 950 AM. Get in the game on The Huddle.
121, welcome back into The Huddle, ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, KB Alonzo here. Let's bring in Dave Gutschall, head coach of the Dorman Cavalier football team. Coach, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How about you, Greg?
You're doing well, Coach. Obviously, you had a big win on Friday night against Bowling Springs, 28-14 at their place. Obviously, you had a real good defensive performance Friday night.
Yeah, probably no doubt our best defensive performance of the season. This was really the expectation we had going into the year, and we struggled, and we got hurt in August and had a hard time getting to replace. And, well, they showed up Friday. They really played well.
I know, 4 sacks, is that right? So you put some pressure on Streeter?
Yeah, we got the Streeter and sacked him a bunch, forced him to throw maybe when he wasn't ready, and just kept him off balance. I don't think he ever got in any kind of rhythm during the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, credit your defense for that, certainly. Cameron Wilson, a big night for you, carrying the ball 130 yards. Tell us about him.
Yeah, he's been doing a great year all year. We really have a two-back system between Cameron Wilson and Marcus Rashford. But Cameron, the last three or four games has been hot, so we went with him more. And we told the guys that anytime somebody gets hot, we'll ride with them. And he's really been running well. He's one of them kids that's really hard to hit.
And you're still getting good quarterback play. You feel like you're coming along there with Fowler?
Yeah, Jalen's been super. He's done a good job. He distributes the ball to our skill kids. It seems like we have a different wideout each week steps up, which is good because it's hard to take one away because all of them are doing well.
Well, Coach, this week you go to Gaffney to play the Indians. That's never easy. And Gaffney, they've had one loss this year to Northwestern. Otherwise, they've surprised a lot of people this year. They seem to have a lot of talent.
Yeah, and going into the season, people had asked me, and I'd sort of picked Bowling Green Gaffney 1-2 in our region. And I'm not surprised that they're playing well. As you watch them on film, it looks like a Gaffney team of old. Very aggressive defensive front, very athletic behind them. Quarterbacks making plays, good skill kids. So it's the normal Gaffney. You're right, it's never a good place to go play.
No, never easy over there. Yeah. Coach, is there any talk about moving that game for weather?
Well, we're waiting and seeing. We're talking about right now moving the JV game to tomorrow night so that Thursday is open just in case. I think everybody right now has got their eyes on this hurricane, and I know the governor's having a press conference at 3, and mm-hmm. and maybe she'll have an up-to-date for where this thing's going. So there's been no mention of moving it except we've talked to them and we're going to move the JV game. So that we're ready just in case it happens.
Very good. So could be a decision as late as like tomorrow if you moved it up, I guess, right?
Right, yeah, we could make it tomorrow, even first thing Thursday morning.
Okay.
Since we're no longer playing JV or ninth grade, I'm sure.
All right.
The end of practice tomorrow, both teams would be really prepared to play at that time.
Very good. Well, Coach, congratulations on the win against Bowling Springs. Good luck this week, and thanks for talking with us.
Okay, thank you, Craig.
Dave Gutshall, coach of the Dorman Cavaliers. As Dorman prepares for Gaffney, that's another big Region 3 5A matchup coming up whenever they play it. Right now scheduled for Friday night and could possibly move to Thursday depending on the track of the storm and the anticipation of heavy rains on Friday. So we're waiting on decisions.
I'm already living 24 hours ahead. I'm just moving everything up.
All right.
One day.
Very good.
Because it's going to happen. I mean, don't try to not make it happen because I came up with it. I mean,
You came up with it.
That's right.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I did.
Move
it up 24
that.
To beat the storm. I'm the originator of that thought.
Very good.
Yes, sir.
Jimbo Fisher says there's no divide in Florida State's locker room. You know, they have not started well at Florida State.
They have not.
They're 3-2. Yep. There's been some criticism of this team's dedication by some former players, and Jimbo not liking that too well. The 23rd ranked Seminoles were a double-digit favorite over North Carolina, and they lost to the Tar Heels 37-35 on that last-second field goal. The defense allowed a 23-second, 38-yard game-winning drive to the Tar Heels at the end of that game. Jimbo said yesterday, this team will never split offense and defense. That's why we have the locker room set up, alternating offensive and defensive players. We have offensive and defensive guys roomed together. He said, we do that because that's the biggest division that can ever happen on a football team, the offense criticizing the defense or vice versa. He says, that'll never happen. It hasn't happened here yet, and it never will. After the loss on Saturday, Dalvin Cook, who had 246 yards and 3 touchdowns, said at the end of the game that the game was out of the offense's control. But then he called it a team loss. Dalvin said, all we can do is control the offensive side of the ball, go out and get a touchdown. That's what we did. And to put the defense in the best situation, we just have to execute a little better. A defensive end on the team, senior DeMarcus Walker, had a sack on Saturday, third nationally with 6.5 sacks this year. He said he can only contribute so much. He said, I'm trying to do my best, but I can only do so much. My mom was talking to me earlier in the week. She said I put too much on myself, but at the end of the day, I'm only human. We have to execute better. Fisher said neither player is pointing fingers, but he says they're acting as team leaders. But some former players might be pointing fingers. Former Seminoles cornerback Greg Reed tweeted, just because we lost doesn't mean we need to change anything. Point blank, period, we don't have heart.
He's the one that tore up Lattimore's knee, isn't he?
Greg Reed.
I believe it was little Greg Reed.
I was Tennessee that last time, not Florida State.
Well, one time, I believe it was Reed out of Florida State. Maybe the first time, I guess.
Okay. Chris Thompson and Jacoby McDaniel also criticized the effort. They all played under Fisher. Jimbo says this team does have heart. He says it's funny for a player who has played. Guys never know what's on a team until you're on a team. And for an ex-player to do that's very disappointing. You can never judge what's in a guy's heart until you know him and play with him. A lot of the frustration is stemming from this defense because it's among the worst in the nation in almost every statistical category. They're 115th in scoring defense. They're allowing 42-plus points a game. Yards per play average is almost 7 yards every play. That's 125th in the country. And they're next to last in yards per attempt at 9.4. The 63 points Louisville scored kind of jacked up those stats. That's the most
slightly
scored on a Florida State defense ever. So their defense has allowed 177 points in 5 games. Mm-hmm. The team that won the national championship in 2013, they allowed 170 points for the season.
Yep.
So they've already allowed more points than they allowed all year.
That's right.
That year.
That's right.
Charles Kelly is calling the plays, the coordinator for the defense. But there have been some changes made. Fisher said, we made some scheme changes. We move personnel, move guys around, move them in the last game to do different things. We'll continue to do that. How we coach them, what we're doing schematically, personnel and all things, he says we've done on offense already. So they're making changes on both sides of the ball, try to light a little fire at Florida State because they're in a little bit of a hole now.
Well, I guess. You
with
know
a 3-2 start. Yeah. And,
they
you know,
miss James big time and they're young, and of course, every team faces injury. They just haven't performed.
If you're a Clemson fan, you're hoping they don't get it together in the next couple of weeks. You got them coming up at the end of October.
Well, and you got to feel a little bit better because, you know, even though it was mostly just for a half, the same guy that torched you torched Clemson's defense, too. A tired defense, and you're not nearly as good as Clemson's defense, but you saw what Lamar did to Clemson's defense in that second half. I mean, and overall, his numbers were stupendous.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm saying. You know, it ain't like it was just anybody. But Florida State's, you know, been getting spanked every week, you know.
You know, Florida State lost by 43 points and Clemson won. So.
Right. Yeah, that's a little different, too.
So that's part of the issue that they're facing. I don't know what the track is for Florida State. This loss to North Carolina is disappointing. That's a home loss to North Carolina, and they don't need to be losing that game. They just don't.
Well, North Carolina has a lot of weapons.
They're a decent team. They're pretty good.
Yeah,
they're not Louisville at home.
I mean, I thought the formula for Florida State to win was exactly what happened. The only thing was is you just don't have enough defense. You know, Florida State doesn't right now without James being there and some other kids stepping up. It ain't going to happen. You know, you need to scheme change, and they're going to, and maybe that'll help. Hopefully that'll help. But, you know, you got to be able to stop the run a little bit and be able to cut. I mean, just all over. They're suffering everywhere.
They are struggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no, and they get Miami this week, which is another big game for the Seminoles and for Miami. That's
a
big one.
I think they'll play well, but we'll see.
844-477-3776. Text line is 47183. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. Stay with us. Going to hear from Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs coming up in the huddle on ESPN Upstate.
You're in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Opinions wanted at 844-GSP-ESPN.
Connect at ESPNUpstate.com.
Text 47183.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM.
You're listening to The Huddle with Greg McKinney.
136, welcome back in. It's the Huddle, ESPN Upstate. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up right before 2 o'clock. Listen for the keyword, and you can text it in to win. That's less than 25 minutes away, so stand by for that. And we'll have your chance to win Bank of America 500 tickets coming up in the next hour as well, right here in the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Kirby Smart, the new coach of the 3-2 Georgia Bulldogs. Talking about South Carolina, is they're coming off just a heartbreaking loss to Tennessee on a last-second Josh Dobbs Hail Mary at Sanford Stadium over the weekend, 34-31. And getting ready for the Gamecocks, Kirby Smart talked about freshman quarterback Brandon McElwain. That's the guy that he's focused on at quarterback for South Carolina going into this weekend's game.
He does a great job in space, making plays. They run plays designed for him to run the ball. Then they give him the option to run the ball. He is very quick, very fast, very elusive, smaller guy in the pocket, but the guy has a good arm strength. So it's one of those deals that he is a freshman, so he's going through a little bit of what our guy goes through, where you see some formations, you see some plays, you're like, wait a second, was it supposed to be that way or was it supposed to be another way? But he can run and he can elude, and that always creates issues for defenses when you got guys like that that can extend the play like the guy did on us Saturday. Makes you have to defend longer.
He's not really expressing any concern about Perry Orth at this point.
No.
But Perry Orth may well play. Could even start. We don't know the starter yet for
Well, I'm sure he would say this kid's a nice little playmaker, and he can hit some passes and stuff, and he can move around pretty well. So we've got to watch him.
Lorenzo Nunez, remember him?
I do.
Haven't talked about him much this year.
We have not.
Since he was moved from quarterback to wide receiver. Well, confirmed today, or basically all but confirmed today by Will Muschamp, that Lorenzo Nunez will redshirt.
Okay, I thought you were going to say move on.
No, okay. He's not leaving.
All right.
Now, Muschamp says redshirting Nunez is the best option for him. That's the quote. He wants that. We want that as well. So I guess they haven't officially made the move, but that's where they're headed. Redshirt for Lorenzo Nunez. True freshman last year and, of course, thrust out onto the field because South Carolina needed help.
So badly.
Showed flashes as a passer and a runner. But then this year, with McElwain coming in, there's just no place for Nunez at quarterback. So they transitioned to a wide receiver, and he struggled with that. He hadn't played wide receiver. He can play wide receiver. They still believe that, but he needs to learn the position. So he's going to take the rest of this year and learn the position, especially with, you know, Jake Bentley coming in. There's no real scenario where Nunez plays quarterback. So they will keep him at receiver. He'll be given more time now to learn the intricacies of that position, and that'll give him another option next year at receiver. I like that. I think that's the smart thing to do. It's too bad he couldn't jump in because they need help this year, too,
Yes. Especially
last week when they had both Debo and Brian Edwards out. They could have used him. But those guys hopefully will be back this week. So 2016 will be a red shirt year for Nunez at South Carolina. No arguments there, right?
I think when a coaching staff does that, I think they're looking at the bigger picture, and they've sat down with the kid and talked it out. And listen, I'm always talking to a kid about his chance at the next level. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to be really good here and have a chance to play either in the NFL or in Canada and make a little bit more money after your career here, if that's the route you choose, it's going to be better that you just get in the weight room big time this year, work your butt off, continue to come to practice, run your routes, you know, be involved and la-da-da-da, and then maybe you'll become a stud next year. It's hard to understand that unless you know what all that entails, but if the kid goes about it the right way and the coaching staff knows what they're doing, they obviously do, then he'll be that much better next year.
And he'll give them some size at receiver. He's 6'3".
Oh, yeah.
Like 205.
He can run.
So,
can run.
Yeah, and a shifty
and
runner.
Elusive. Yeah, absolutely.
So that'll give him a little more size at receiver next year.
Yeah.
I like it. Good plan. Lorenzo Nunez out of Kennesaw, Georgia. Unofficial right now, but all indications from today in Columbia that he will redshirt for the 2016 season and come back as a receiver for 2017 for the South Carolina Gamecocks. As far as Georgia is concerned coming into this game, you know, they're coming off two consecutive losses.
Mm-hmm.
Played pretty well against Tennessee, really. Had a great chance to win that game. So you got to feel good about that. You can see Jacob Eason getting better every week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not great news for the Gamecocks. Wouldn't it be better for them to face him really early in the season? With each game, he's gotten a little better, I think, and played pretty well this past Saturday. They got drilled by Ole Miss 2 weeks ago, 45-14. Lost a close one to Tennessee. They barely beat Nichols, 26-24.
Mm-hmm.
Their two wins were by a total of 3 points.
Yeah.
They beat Nichols by two, and they beat Missouri by one.
Mm-hmm.
Their best game, really, was the opener against North Carolina. That was a nice win for them when they beat the Tar Heels. And they played pretty well again against Tennessee, but their best win certainly is that one.
The Chubb game, right? 230-something.
He had a big game, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Typical Chubb.
And we're still waiting for word on Chubb officially for this weekend, but it's trending like he's going to be able to play for Georgia against South Carolina. You know, if it's a rainy game, I don't know that that's bad for South Carolina. Necessarily. They don't have a passing game anyway. So maybe that slows down Eason's passing game a little bit. Because he can sling it around. So I don't know that Will Muschamp would be too upset if there was a wet surface for that game on Saturday in Columbia.
I bet he'd take a monsoon if he can get a W. You know?
Yeah. Just keep the game lower scoring, make it a defensive struggle, might give him a better chance to win.
But the fans, of course, would prefer the nice weather.
Well, yeah.
Of course, sure.
I don't think they're going to get nice weather. It's not tracking like it's going to be
a nice weekend. If your team was really good, let's just say your team, would you rather sit through the rain and get a win or have beautiful weather and barely get beat? How about that for a question?
I want the win, man. Okay. Are you kidding me?
So you go ahead and you hope for good weather the rest of the week, but you don't really care about the game. You go,
no, take the win.
Right.
I guarantee you Will Muschamp feels that way.
All right.
Give me a win. Right.
So what do you think? Because I agree with Greg.
Yeah,
would you rather have the weather?
Yeah, but if I've got a good team, if it's just a mediocre team, I'm just nice weather and go out and hang out and watch a game.
Really?
But if my team,
South
really
Carolina's
good.
Nothing better than mediocre.
Well, there you go. I'm hoping for nice weather then.
You don't like them anyway, so what are you talking about?
I'm not anti.
That's not your team, though.
I know, but I'm not anti Gamecock. I've told you that for years.
I know, but you don't care about
it. By the way, the fact that you have to say that. It's implied that it's different.
No, it is not.
A little bit.
I hope those birds do well. I do. I really do. I'm serious. I don't know why you guys don't believe me, and I don't know why I can't say it with a straight face. Hold on a minute. Let me try it again.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
I can't do it. I do not wish it, though. I promise you I don't. It just won't come out. I don't wish any ill will on Gamecock Nation. How about that?
We appreciate that.
Have a great year.
Here's another delay from the weather in Columbia, and this one I'm not sure I get. The South Carolina High School League Swimming Championship. Swimming.
Yep.
Move from this Saturday to next Friday, October 14th, at USC. At USC, they're swimming inside, right?
Yeah, but
it is, but travel.
It's logistics. Yeah, and it's the fans. Yeah. It's the coordination.
Well, what about the logistics for the football game Saturday in Columbia? That requires some logistics.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're sitting outside in the monsoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean,
I don't know, man.
Move it.
And to move the swimming championships?
Can you move the game till Sunday? You don't play that. That's stepping on the NFL. You don't do that.
Yeah, I don't think they do that. I don't think they move. College games are less likely to move than high school games. I don't think you'll see it move. I think they'll play it. And besides, Friday looks worse than Saturday, weather-wise. Probably be okay Saturday. Unless they get, remember last year.
4 o'clock kick?
No, it's a night game.
No, it is.
Yeah.
7-ish. 7:30.
Okay. 7:30. Yeah. Right. Prime time, baby.
Carolina gets prime time. Clemson goes the next week at noon.
Next week, 12 noon against NC State.
How you figure?
All right, break time. 844-477-3776. Text line 47183. We'll be right back. It's The Huddle, ESPN Upstate. Stay with us.
What's on your mind? Talk at 844-GSP-ESPN.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM.
This is The Huddle with GMAC, Greg McKinney,
KB,
Ken Blankenship,
and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate.
Welcome back. It's 150 here in The Huddle, ESPN Upstate. Taco Tuesday, huh?
Yeah. National.
National Taco Day. Not Taco Tuesday. National Taco Day. Just happens to be a Tuesday.
I wonder who decides what You know what? Let's make today National Taco Day.
I'm for it.
You know, I mean, you have interest, and you have to take care of your interest. You need a national day if you're...
Yeah, but what's the significance that makes today National Taco Day?
Well, it's room on the calendar.
You know, I want to be that guy that just decides today it's going to be National Watermelon Day.
You know what else today is? It's CB Radio Day. You know why?
Why is that?
10-4.
Makes sense.
Come on back, good buddy.
10-4.
What was your handle?
October 4th.
Tell the truth.
Never did
handle?
That. Never did the CB radio
Come on.
Thing. I swear I didn't.
Seriously.
Really? You didn't?
Never. No.
Oh, we grew up in the Golden. I cannot remember mine. I had one.
Yeah, you know, sure. Before the internet, it was a lot of fun. All my buddies had CB, so we could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with
Roger that.
Especially because they had built-in PAs.
What's your...
Don't think I didn't have fun with that.
What's
scaring
your
people after death.
10-20, G-Mac?
I'm right here.
All right, G-Mac, very good.
You're looking at me.
What's your 10-19? What's your 10-19? Oh, you didn't do. Okay.
10-19, what is that?
I don't know that. I don't know
that. 10-50's a wreck. I remember that.
Is it?
That's from my news days,
okay,
covering news. 10-50 is a wreck.
We got a 10-50.
10-20's location, and that's about my extent.
We got a 10-50 at exit 73. Yeah.
I listen to scanners a lot. I just didn't talk on
them. We can go back and watch Rubber Duck or watch...
Rubber Ducky, yeah.
You got your ears on?
Yeah, they're on. Hey, listen to this story out of Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And see if you guys agree with me on how dumb this is. You remember what happened with the East Carolina Marching Band? Did you hear about it?
Something, but I...
Not all of them.
Right.
But last weekend's East Carolina game, some of the band members refused to play the national anthem. Some of them took a knee during the national anthem. Now, that's just dumb. I agree with that.
Get out of the band.
Yeah, you're in the band. That's your job.
Yeah, exactly.
Play the national anthem.
Get out of the band if you're going to do that. We got other people that would love to do it.
Exactly.
You know?
So that's part of the dumbness.
Doesn't have anything to do with the color you are.
These are kids who have scholarships to play in the band.
I don't know about that.
There are band scholarships.
Yeah, but I mean, most people don't get a band scholarship.
Well,
I don't think. You just play in the band.
I don't think most of them.
You get some privileges now. You're going
to
get a taco.
Get free
taco.
I didn't say it was a full ride, but you get some band scholarship.
You walk into any taco joint in America right now and show your tuba.
If you had a scholarship, I don't care about the tacos, KB.
Yeah, but you walk in with a tuba today, you're getting free tacos.
The reason why I mentioned that means you're basically getting paid to go out there and do it.
You've signed up to be in the band. Play the dang national anthem.
That's what I'm saying.
But there's a radio station.
All right.
It's an ESPN station in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Okay.
WFAY.
Wow.
They will not be airing this weekend's East Carolina game because some members of the band refused to play the national anthem. I mean, that's one dumb thing on top of another, isn't it?
Well,
so they're not going to carry the game because of the band.
Seems a bit of a knee jerk, doesn't it?
It's just stupid.
I mean, good
How's a knee jerk? That's patriotic right there.
No, it's not.
Yes,
come on, you don't believe that.
Sure, I do.
Do you really? You're just not going to run the game because
of the
band.
Sponsors? What do you tell them?
Oh, man.
How many sponsors could they actually have? Come on.
Well, I'm just saying. This is a broadcast of a game, right?
Yes, it is.
They have paying sponsors.
Yes, they do.
They got to give back a bunch of money.
Here's the statement from the chairman of the company that has ESPN Fayetteville. Several members of the band refused to play the national anthem, and others took a knee during the performance, with the result that roughly a dozen band members disgraced themselves on the football field this past weekend. This is the company CEO of the radio station. He said, "I'm proud of our country, and I'm proud of our soldiers, especially our soldiers from Fort Bragg, fighting for our country. So I've decided that ESPN Fayetteville will protest the protest."
I tell you what.
"I talked with some of our East Carolina football sponsors yesterday, and we'll be talking with more of them today. So far, it's been unanimous." There's your answer on the sponsors.
Okay, cool.
"Every sponsor I've talked to agrees that last weekend's spectacle at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium was shameful and a message needs to be sent."
Okay.
He said he fully supports the rights of the band members to protest, but they need to understand that the U.S. Constitution's freedom of speech protection gives them freedom to speak without fear of the government and not the right to say or do whatever they want with no repercussions. The band, you're not hurting the band, man. Are you punishing the band by not carrying the ball game?
Well, he's taking a stand is what he's doing.
Whatever.
You know?
So it's okay to take a stand one way, but somebody else takes it the other way, then you have a problem with it. I don't get it.
Really?
Yeah,
it's his money, G-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants
How about
really...
people that want to hear the game?
Yeah,
they can't go to the game, but they want to hear the game.
Well, you'll have to wait till the next one, you know.
Because some band members did something dumb.
There are consequences when there are protests.
The consequences are not against the band. That's my point. You're not punishing the band. The band will be there. They'll see the game. How are you punishing the band?
Band ain't coming, huh? I ain't letting them come if they ain't gonna play.
Well, that's a different. That's a different topic.
If you're not gonna play,
ban the band.
If you're not gonna play, I don't need you there. Turning your uniform, you know, homie ain't the only one can make a stand as band leader.
I agree with that. The band members who refuse to play should be kicked out of the band. I agree with that.
I don't know about totally, but at least we need to talk. I mean, I ain't gonna take a super hard line, but are you going to talk to me before you don't need to come to this game? Because if you don't play in a national anthem, you don't need to play the rest of what we're playing.
I agree with you
And we're going to suffer greatly, but...
Why is a radio station getting involved and becoming part of this?
Because radio is powerful, bro. It's powerful. You know that, G-Man. You know that. It is. It is. It's that one little fuzzy you get.
So both you guys think the radio station's right to not carry the game because of what these band members
do. I didn't say that.
I said he has a right.
If that's what he feels is right,
I didn't say he was right. I said he has a right.
Okay, he has a right. Sometimes you should not exercise your right.
That's true. That's true, too. But in this
situation, is the media being part of the story.
Yeah, well, he's saying I'm making a stand with what little juice I got. That's what he's doing.
And this is, I mean, if I'm a listener of that station and I count on that station to carry the ball games and I care about the ball games and I maybe work in and can't go to the ball game and you're not carrying the ball game because some band members didn't play the national anthem.
I guess it depends on how patriotic you are as a listener.
I don't think it's about patriotism. I think it's about stupidity.
I think it is for the owner.
It is for him, and it'll probably pick up some people that will listen to the game who wouldn't have listened before because he's taking that stand.
How are they going to listen to the game? He's not carrying it.
The next one.
So we're going to have a one-week protest.
They're going to listen to that station now because of that.
Well, you're not going to do it every week. You couldn't make any money. You'd have to go out of business.
Well, why? If you take a stand, take a stand.
No, he's taking a stand that
he's
one week.
He's taking a one-week stand.
Yeah, right. And I might do this. I might say, until you get that band together. Now, listen, we ain't cutting our stuff on. Get your band
together. So you consider a sports station media?
Yes.
Okay. Because I mean, to me, when I think media, I think news. I don't think a sports station.
Media?
Yeah,
media kind of a big umbrella for anybody.
I think we're media, but I don't know if that makes a difference in the point.
We're not news media. We are media.
I mean, I don't think they're journalists.
People are hearing this, aren't they?
If they're not journalists, then they're there to give their opinion. And his opinion, he doesn't think he should play the game.
Yeah, one guy. One guy gets to decide.
Who has the power to make the decision?
I'm just figuring out what this is. This is a 2.5-year experiment. Just in studio here. You guys were teaching me how to do real radio. Please cut the power on and let's get it out there. Are we going out?
I can't tell you how dumb I think this is of this radio station.
Okay.
Have I made that clear?
I think you've made it perfectly clear.
All right. Call us.
And all of us who think different, you pretty much called dumb too.
That is not correct. You can have your opinion.
No, I
have your opinion.
Once again, I'm not saying the guy is right. I said he has that right.
So you're wishy-washy. Lonzo's on one side and I'm on the other. Now we've settled that.
I'm wishy-washy on a fence, though, you know?